Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
What a disastrous weekend in Arizona sports. Just awful from top to bottom. Thank you for being with us. It is a great Monday on my part. I had a terrific weekend. Aside from all the nonsense that happened, Paula Bovin will be with us here in about 20 minutes. News and notes, as we do every Monday with Paula Bovin. Eric is here today. It's good to see Eric back. Jared Nielsen is on the right side of the grass today, which is good to see him here as well. Jared Cohen and Jordan Hamm and others that make this all possible day in and day out, and most importantly, you. I had a terrific weekend. I was in Albuquerque for most of the weekend. Now, you may be saying, well, who cares about Albuquerque, Brad? You ought to be talking about ASU getting destroyed and the Cardinals being 1-3 and the world's coming to an end at the U of A and the Diamondbacks stink and there should be a press conference today. And I'll get to all of that. But I like to do this show in my own way. So I listened to Vin Scully driving along the freeway yesterday on I-40 in his final broadcast. It was terrific. I thought about Dick Enberg quite a bit because Vin Scully got all the run. Dick Enberg got very little run, I thought, over this weekend. This was a weekend in which I felt like in just watching the Cardinal game when I got back, I watched it on DVR. We stopped in at Christopher Creek in the middle of a rainstorm coming back yesterday. And I always like to see what people outside of us in the middle of the forest. I mean, we're right in the middle of the forest every day. But you are out there just doing your thing. You're being the father, the wife, the girlfriend, the grandfather, whatever your space is in life. You're not following this stuff 24/7, 365. And sometimes we get so far engrossed in this. So I walk into Christopher Creek, and there's four people, and they're gathered around this little tiny, like a Sony Philco TV from back in the day, just this little deal. It wasn't black and white, and they had this terrific, terrific menu item that I sat and my son and my wife and were watching and listening, and all four of these people are gathered around the TV, and they said, man, the football team isn't good. Boy, these guys aren't good. Boy, these guys have troubles. These guys have problems. So it's not just me. And they actually turned the channel for a little bit. So I'm sure the number today is fine. The game ended in a close fashion. It came right down to the end. But there are other choices. October is the greatest month in sport. Eric, we would agree on that, wouldn't we? That if we're thinking about sports and what we do, there's nothing better than doing this show in October.
October is a great month.
I mean, yesterday you could have sat and watched Vin Scully do his final game, the Ryder Cup, the NFL games were on. Saturday night, I'm in this dumpy hotel in Albuquerque, and I'm watching the end of the Tennessee game against Georgia. We go out to the Balloon Fiesta. I come back, I watch the end of the Clemson game.
Great game.
I sat through the ASU game when I got home last night from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing I could fast forward through that train wreck.
I also like early April, because you have the Final Four, you have the beginning of the baseball season, you have the NBA playoffs. But yeah, October's pretty tough to beat.
I mean, so if in our space here in Arizona, we have great weather every weekend.
Except in June, July,
well,
August,
but my point is
September.
Is we have an excuse to be outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
These people that are living in like North Dakota and freezing have every excuse to just sit there from 9 in the morning or 8 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night and not move. There was no reason really to get off a couch this weekend. My son is in water polo, and we had a water polo event. And water polo is a terrific sport. The more that I'm around it, the more normal I see parents acting rather than crazy, out-of-their-mind parents with, I got to get my son a scholarship, and it's going to happen in football. And oh, by the way, he's 5'2" and has two left feet, and he doesn't like the sport, but he's going to get a scholarship. We've had those parents call us, contact us through the 5 years of doing this. So I got home last night and I was going through emails and people are just banging away on Todd Graham. It's predictable. Those that wear the maroon and gold socks up to their kneecaps whenever ASU loses a game are going to be the ones that want him fired. And then there's the other side of it, that those that wear maroon and gold socks up to their kneecaps are, it's the officials' fault. It's USC cheats' fault. It's everybody but yourself fault. And you got to look in the mirror. We had said on this show that we weren't sure if ASU was a great team. We thought they were fine. And you get hammered by those that say, we're a top 25 program. You're not even top 35. Okay? And I'm not going to just, excuse it away and say, well, it was one bad night, turn the page. No, you went into the backyard of one of your most fertile recruiting grounds and you got jackstomped from start to finish. It was not a game. You got run off the field. Conversely, when we're sitting here watching your Cardinals play, and they just like to turn the ball over this year. They just like to miss tackles this year. Their special teams are dreadful. If you've noticed, the Patriots did this. Yesterday, Zuerlein did it. They actually don't kick it deep because they want us to return it. When I say us, the Cardinals, they want them to return it. Please, Andre Ellington, return the football because we know you're going to get knocked down at the 18 rather than the 25. We're not going to kick it out of bounds. We don't respect you.
And is it just me or is anyone else a little bit more than concerned? The Cardinals have scored 31 points in their last two games. And some of those points they got against the Bills were sort of in garbage time. Like, where is this high-powered, we're going to throw it long, we're going to make big plays? I know Carson got hurt, but it's not just one or two little things. I mean, you talk about the special teams. When they watch the film from yesterday, it's not pretty at all, like anywhere. Turnovers, penalties, Case Keenum beating your secondary more often than Case Keenum should. And this is the second year in a row the Rams have won in Glendale. And I know the Rams play well in the NFC West, but when you and I went through this schedule, like we always do, just like every other show everywhere does, when it's, oh, the NFL schedule came out. Let's do win-loss.
Right.
I think we both thought that the Cardinals should win this game yesterday.
So, by the way, this segment is brought to you by Subway. Hot headlines right off the top of today's show and every show brought to you by Subway. Subway for your next catering event or when you're heading out to events and games like this weekend with ASU and UCLA. Think Subway. We appreciate Subway and their support.
And Todd Gurley must have had a huge game, right? I mean, the Rams won. He probably had 300 rushing yards and six
touchdowns.
Didn't even
break 40.
He had 33 rushing yards. 33.
So here's the thing on it. And this is where I've got to look at Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, because it is very easy and the right thing to do when things go well. You always look at the top and give them credit. You give the players credit, but you look at the top, okay? And when things don't go well, it's pretty easy to always point the finger at the players. Now, we're four games into the season. This is not a small sample size for what we have to work with here. This team is 1-3, and they're 1-3, and they don't look, they look old to me, okay? Carson yesterday doesn't look like he has the same zip. Nobody wants to talk about it. They say, oh, you're crazy. Look what he did against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay stinks, okay? They're not good. And so I'm watching Carson, and his offensive line isn't as good. So Carson is getting, he's getting some clean pockets, but more often than not, he's rushing. He's trying to escape. He's getting hit, it seems like, every game. And eventually, in what happened yesterday, that's what's going to happen. Four games in, and now he's in concussion protocol. What does that mean for Thursday night? I would be surprised if he played. But then again, it's the NFL, and there's always a way to get around rules and skirt around it. But then that takes us to Drew Stanton. Drew Stanton wasn't good yesterday. We sat at the combine and very straightforward asked both Steve Keim and Bruce Arians about drafting a quarterback. I sat on this show the whole offseason and said, are they going to take a quarterback? It's time to address the situation. So I can look over at the Rams, and I can see that they have Aaron Donald over there. I can see they have Quinn over there. I can see that they have very talented players over there. But you got to figure out a way to get it done. And David Johnson, when people in the offseason start saying he's going to be a potential Hall of Famer, and we sit here in this studio and say, are you kidding me? Who is saying this stuff? And so you go right down the list. David Johnson, future Hall of Famers don't just drop the ball on the turf. And you should never, ever, ever even once acknowledge and use the word Hall of Fame until somebody's had, I don't know, more than a cup of coffee in their career. So here's David Johnson yesterday coughing it up. Does he look like a good back? Yes, he does. But come on. You have John Brown, who has been missing because of concussion. He comes out yesterday and he catches 10 balls. He was great. Okay. He's been terrific. But when you need plays late in the game, Michael Floyd catches a touchdown early in the game, but Michael Floyd has not been consistent. So I can't just sit here and look at their offense and say, oh, all is well. I can't sit here at 1-3 and say, look, if this thing continues to be the dumpster fire that it is, okay, teams that start out 1-3, understand this, teams that start out 1-3 have a 13% chance of making the postseason. So it's already stacked way up against your hometown heroes. And if the dumpster fire continues, and I've got to watch an older Carson Palmer, who already has a concussion and we're just in week 4, 12 more of these bad boys to go. If he doesn't play this week, he'd be ready for the Monday night game against the Jets, maybe. Nobody can tell me that they've got concussions figured out. This could be something that lasts a while, kind of like John Brown's. So then let's go over to the defensive side of the football. In the secondary, guys running free. It's still happening 4 weeks in. This will go over to Steve Keim. Where is Robert Kimdiche? And it will go over to Bruce Arians on that. I'm all for it. It takes time to develop players, okay? Calais Campbell is as nice a guy. We like Calais a lot. Calais Campbell has not been the havoc wreaker that we have seen in the past. I'm not hearing Calais Campbell's name called very much. And I could go right down the list of everything about this team. Their special teams were a train wreck the first few weeks, and they were a train wreck again yesterday. They don't do anything. So in every facet of the game, the Cardinals aren't good, and they're at 1-3, and they go on the road. And by the way, go look up the numbers on Thursday Night Football. More often than not, it seems to me the home team wins in Thursday Night Football. And Thursday Night Football games are usually really ugly because players need more than 3 days to recover from what they just went through. So if you're Bruce Arians and you're looking at Carson Palmer and he's got a brain injury, are you going to just throw him out there and have him play if he's not at 100%? So we're left to Drew Stanton, who that was just hard to watch. And there's more to it than that, but gosh almighty, when all this buildup in the offseason about how great we're going to be, and we're sitting over here saying, no, you guys might want to just tap the brakes and be a little humble. Well, now it's all coming back down on you because you're the ones that built this thing up to completely unrealistic expectations. Can they come back from 1-3? Sure they could. Okay, I don't think the 49ers are in great. They just lost Bowman. They have Blaine Gabbert, a quarterback. It's not like I look at the 49ers and say they're anything special, but I'm sure they're looking here at Arizona and saying they're not anything special either.
And the history of road teams in Thursday night games is not good. And you can go back just to last week. I mean, the Dolphins played in Cincinnati
and got crushed.
And they just got destroyed. The game wasn't even competitive. So Who knows what's going to happen in the Bay Area? Yes, the Cardinals should win the game. They should.
How can you say that?
Well, they're the better team.
How do you know that after 4 weeks?
If you put the roster of the 49ers against the roster of the Cardinals, if the Cardinals play well and the 49ers play well, the Cardinals should win that game.
Have the Cardinals played well yet this year? Did they play well, or was it Tampa Bay just stinks?
Well, probably a combination
Jameis
of both.
Winston was horrible again yesterday.
But it was a combination of both. The Cardinals took control of that game and put it out of reach early. But no, they haven't. I mean, they haven't been consistent. I mean, that's pretty evident.
They've been consistently inconsistent.
Yes.
That's what we can say about that. All right, we're going to get over to some college football. And I've got to get into the Ryder Cup because that was just terrific. And a few other things in my mind. Our hometown heroes on the diamond, mercifully, thankfully, their season came to an end. Why we haven't gotten a note yet that they're all gone, I don't know. We'll have Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes, news and notes on a Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So you were in Dallas-y? Is that where you went?
I was, Fort Worth, Texas, the greater Metroplex.
So you saw TCU Oklahoma.
I did.
Why do you go to, what is it, four games a year? What's the point of that with TCU?
Because they're my alma mater.
But it's like you go, we've been doing this 5 years, and for the last 5 years, I think you go to four games a year.
I average between three and four games a year, yes.
You going to a bowl game with them this year?
No.
How do you know that? Everybody goes to a bowl game. What are you talking about?
Well, they already have two losses, so it's
not,
not
going to the national title game.
It's not going to be an elite bowl.
So?
And I'm not made of money.
Go to Shreveport.
I'm not made of money.
What are you talking about?
Would you go to Shreveport?
If you're supporting a team, if you're supporting your team, why not? What are you talking about? You know, you and I follow college football.
I think a little bit.
I think we enjoy college more than we enjoy the pro.
I'm a Saturday guy, yeah.
When I saw the end of the Tennessee-Georgia game, first of all, CBS does something brilliant. They always go and take the call from the radio within like 30 seconds and match it with the call, because Vernon Lundquist is so secure in himself, in his skin, because he's so good. It doesn't matter. He just knows that it adds the experience. So hearing the call of the Hail Mary in the Tennessee game was terrific. The show of emotion. But I think beyond that, what I was thinking about yesterday on the college front, in hearing Carson Palmer and then seeing Carson Palmer the game back and then seeing Drew Stanton, this team's got to go get somebody. It's not, and they're not going to do it this year. They're not going to be able to do it this year. I get that. But you have to start looking ahead to the draft next year. They already traded, what, their second pick in the Chandler Jones deal.
No, and Palmer's regressed. I mean, it's more than – he's regressed. That's a fact.
That's it.
We have a sample size big enough to know that it's not a bad game or two. It's a succession of bad games.
And the thing is, when they're talking about – I'm getting back over to the NFL here. I want to get some college stuff. But when I hear stuff about, well, we won these games last year, yeah, good teams find ways to win. Bad teams don't.
Yep.
But the point is you were this close to not being a good team last year. You did pull some of these nail biters out. So it made you a good team, but you weren't dominant. You were not dominant even last year. And so I'm going down the list of quarterbacks. Have you seen enough of Lamar Jackson? I'm sitting there watching Lamar Jackson at Louisville. I think he'd get crushed in the NFL like RG3. Because he's so much fun to watch at Louisville.
And he's only a sophomore, so he's going to get bigger, and he's going to get stronger, and he's definitely electric.
Oh, he's fun.
I mean, it's hard because, like, Tyrod Taylor is a pretty good NFL quarterback, and he's kind of in that same mold. But then there are a lot of other quarterbacks in that same, like you said, RG3, that it just doesn't work. I mean, it's weird. Like, some of these dual-threat quarterbacks in college that are really good have – pretty good NFL careers, but
I would say
the majority of them don't. Yeah, but Russell really is a pocket passer. He doesn't want to be a scrambler, but he scrambles, but he would rather sit in the pocket.
That final drive.
Like Michael Vick would just as much rather run than he would pass.
That final game of the Clemson-Louisville game, by the way, the receiver should just have been sent home.
Yep.
Just don't even get on the bus. You did not want You did not want it. You did not want you wanted no part of getting hit.
Put your foot in the ground.
Just
plant.
You got to deal with
Make
it.
Make a move. You've got to get to the 2-yard line. Come hell or high water, you
Come
need
on.
To get to the 2-yard line.
But so I've not seen Kizer over at Notre Dame.
Big arm.
Okay, So and he's viewed as in most mocks as the quarterback, and we're sitting here in October. But guys, if you're going to sit here and try and tell me that this quarterback situation is figured out for the next several years, I understand the offensive line has got to keep him upright, and they haven't done a great job of doing that. But if I'm Fitz, if I'm just Fitz, and I'm seeing this stuff, the window of opportunity at 1-3, we talk about this window. You know, last year we had this window of opportunity for a Super Bowl team. That window's almost closed. Like, this is going to be the year, this should be the year that the Coyotes and Suns are now sitting here today in their meeting saying, hey, we got an opportunity here to kind of capture some of the market. The football team's not good. On the college end, so watching ASU back, Eric, you sat here last week, and I poo-pooed you, and I was just dead flat wrong. I thought USC would mail it in. I thought they would stink out loud, and instead, they just steamrolled. Clay Helton's team just crushed ASU. And Manny Wilkins, loved the fact that he jumps over players and takes big hits, but we said at some point he's going to get smoked, and he should get out of bounds, and he got smoked. And so now he's hurt. We'll know more later today. Todd Graham's supposed to talk midday today about how long he's going to be out. And Brady White was fine.
I still don't think USC is a great team, though, Brad. I'm more disappointed that they started a quarterback that had so little experience, and he just destroyed ASU.
But Juju Schuster-Smith and Adoree Jackson, the speed and the size that they have on the outside, you know, ASU had no answer on that. And then they, and you know, they just didn't play well.
The game got sideways, and it was pretty much ASU just pretty much like waved the white towel. It was pretty much over.
And then so then you go over. I watched the U of A game late Saturday night in my hotel, and Rich Rod is in a he's in a bad spot. It just feels like they're always hurt. There's always injuries around U of A's program. I know people. I know teams get hurt. Every team has injuries, but it just feels like when you watch them play,
and it's all on the offensive side. I mean, they lost they lost Dawkins for part of the game. They lost two offensive linemen. Their running back situation. I mean, they're Nick Wilson
gets hurt
again. I mean, they're all key spots. It's not like, oh, our third safety sprained an ankle or our nickel corner is out for the year. They're key players that are gone.
And so now Rich is playing a 17-year-old Khalil Tate. He brought in a true freshman, and he actually played well. So now you've got Anu, who hasn't played yet this year, or hasn't played much, I should say, this year. And he wasn't even on the trip. And Dawkins plays, and he gets nicked up. They bring Werlinger in, the kid from Basha, and he wasn't good. And they bring Tate in, and Tate actually does something. So they played four quarterbacks, and they're, what, four games, five games into the season. And you feel like it's slipping away from them. Friday night, I'm in Socorro, New Mexico, and I'm watching Washington just drill Stanford. Like, the Washington Huskies are the only team in the Pac-12 I look at that I think could be playing in the national championship game or make the playoffs. Because if you're looking at playoffs now, we're a month into the season, actually 5 weeks into the college season. There isn't a team out here other than Washington. They made Stanford look silly, and nobody does that. And they've got Oregon this week. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, the game Saturday night, ASU has UCLA here. They're going to drop probably, what, 50, 55? If they had beat USC, they'd probably draw 60. There'd be some buzz. They'd be ranked for the first time. But it feels like with this team that we have here that this – I think there's going to be more of these beatdowns this season. Because I look at their schedule. They still have to go to Seattle. ASU has to go to Seattle. And while Brady White played okay – they just don't look like they've got enough top to bottom on this roster. They finally played a team that is better than them. They were better than Cal, not by much. They were a lot better than Texas Tech, I thought. Paula Bovin is on the other side. There's some other football I'm going to get to before we get out of here. But Paula's next. News and notes with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Paula is somebody that I respect and admire. I've known Paula for many, many years. It doesn't mean that I'm old or that she's old. It's just we've been doing this for a long time and we enjoy it very much. However, we also are realists, and I am very pleased to have Paula join us and ask her directly, can we start talking about the Suns and the Coyotes now that we're to October 3rd, and it appears that the football season is just crashing down all around us. Would you subscribe to that theory, Paula?
I think crashing might be a little strong there, Brad. And, you know, I know you're trying to up the theatrics here a little bit, but no, it's certainly concerning. I think the crashing may be a little more appropriate for Arizona State, just in the sense that I think life gets harder for them with their schedule. They've got to fix some things or they are not going to win a ton more games.
So you're more concerned. You feel like the Cardinals can turn this thing around?
I do. I feel like, you know, the thing... And I'll use ASU as an analogy why. The thing about ASU was when I looked at them against SC, there are clearly some talent discrepancy. For all the problems that SC has, they still recruit some of the best players in the country, and I thought that exposed some of the ASU's weaknesses, especially in the secondary. I look at the Cardinals, and I feel like there is still a lot of talent on that team. You know, there are people that are not playing very well. Kevin Minter, I thought I was really surprised. I thought he really had an off game. I mean, there are those kind of moments, but I still think there are a lot. There's a lot of talent on that team, and I think they match up well with some of the opponents they're going to face. So I think it's less dire. Let's put it that way.
Have the Cardinals done Tyrann Mathieu a disservice by putting him back there and working him into shape? I think he had two tackles yesterday, and I know afterwards there was a lot of where is Tyrann Mathieu and this defense is missing the Honey Badger and all that stuff. Have they done a disservice by putting him out there?
No, I mean, unless it's harming his health, which I don't believe that's the case, I don't think it's a disservice. I think, frankly, they don't have better options. I think he is not playing the way Tyrann Mathieu normally plays, but I think that there will be improvement with that as well when he's more back in shape and feeling himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they have a ton of options at that position anyway, so... You know, they're kind of learning the hard way. You know, they're just going to have to do it and get through it.
Steve Keim is given a lot of credit and platitudes, and rightly so. But because of fairness, you have to look at this year's draft and say Robert Kamdiche didn't play. Brandon Williams, inactive. I think they've already cut their fifth round and sixth round pick. What do you make out of this draft class by the Cardinals? This is a large sample size, Paula. We're a month into the season, so I don't think it's we have to wait and see, or you may still want that approach. I can't say that right now.
Well, I think, Brad, I think the fair comment is that it's concerning. I think you have to have a little bit of a wait and see because we've seen other draft picks come and not be able to produce for a while. The Brandon Williams situation. Some people saw this coming because of his lack of experience at the position. But to be inactive, I thought was a little bit of a surprise. We've learned with talent evaluation, and they certainly know better than anyone that it's not just athletic ability. It's, you know, does the guy have that inner whatever is needed in the NFL to succeed? Do they have the work ethic to study the playbook and all those other things? This group with the Cardinals have been very, very good. There have been some misses. You know, we look at quarterback situation, Logan Thomas, situations like that. I think it's concerning. I would not say, you know, this has been a bust because the two that you mentioned could still turn out to be very good players. But you can tell that they had higher expectations sooner and that they're disappointed. You know, I think it's hard for coaches who have been around players that have picked things up fast and have excelled. They've got a lot of those kind of guys, the Cardinals. They expect the same from these guys, and they're not doing it. So I think they're disappointed, too, that those guys haven't. But I wouldn't sort of make a blanket statement about this draft class yet.
Okay, fair enough. Can you make a statement that they have not addressed the quarterback in the future? And maybe even the quarterback backing up Carson Palmer. I don't have a lot of confidence in Drew Stanton going into this game on Thursday night, if in fact he plays. And Carson, to me, quite frankly, looks slower. He just does. And it's not even 1-3. It's just, it seems and feels like, other than a bad Tampa Bay team, and I mean bad, that Carson has not been as crisp and as sharp. We could even go back to last season when he didn't want to admit that he was hurt. Let's just talk about both quarterbacks and what you're seeing, and do you feel comfortable with where the organization is?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brad. I've thought for the last year or two they've needed to address that backup quarterback situation, and I know that, you know, Carson's coming off this great year, and that's great, but what we've seen with veteran quarterbacks is they'll just have a quick decline and then sort of that'll be it. And I think that really has to be a priority with this team. I do not feel sort of he's on that decline though. I think a lot of things that we've seen were one, what you mentioned with his injury last year, but I think this year there's been other problems. John Brown was one of them. He was really rusty, I thought, the first few weeks coming back from the headaches and concussions. I thought he looked great yesterday, and having that element is really helping Palmer. So I think Palmer's going to be fine. I mean, he's had some issues, but there's been a lot of things around him going on. But the Drew Stanton thing, he's had sort of these opportunities to showcase what he can do. I thought Sunday was one of them. And I know that it's hard for just having a small sample size or to be that guy who comes in only for a smaller window. It's hard to judge him fairly. But I think there's been enough of these little sample sizes where you don't feel like he's a quarterback of the future. And, if he starts Thursday, it sure seems like it's going to happen. I know how careful the NFL is about concussion protocol. This may be the sample that the Cardinals need one way or the other. And they're going to have to start making some decisions if they, start looking, go another kind of Carson Palmer route, or if it's something they address in the draft.
Right, and you can find quarterbacks, okay? Like, I've heard Matt Ryan's name associated with the Cardinals and linked to the Cardinals when his situation. Matt Ryan's having a terrific year down in Atlanta. Maybe the coaching change has helped him out. And that this could be a place you can bring in and resurrect quarterbacks under somebody like Bruce Arians and Tom Moore. I do buy and subscribe to that theory, but I guess top to bottom when I go through this team in the offseason, I forget who compared David Johnson to a potential Hall of Fame running back, but potential Hall of Fame running backs, first of all, that should never even be responded to in those terms. It's like he's in his second year, A. B,
right.
B, you don't put the ball on the ground in a tight game as David Johnson did yesterday. So there's some things around David Johnson I'm looking at, like, terrific. But we have to just stop giving all these big over-the-top, we're all this and all that here in Arizona stuff. That's where I'm having a hard time with this team, building these players up when clearly they're just not there.
Well, and it's tricky because a lot of the dialogue is certainly triggered media-wise. Questions are asked. They snowball. There's so much media covering things now. It becomes bigger and bigger storylines. And you also want the people you are interviewing to give their honest opinion, right? That's what we ask as journalists. Give me your honest response. But it can kind of come and bite you back in the butt, Brad. And so I think they're sort of walking a delicate line with that. But a lot of the accolades that I've heard have been more media-generated than they've been team-generated. They certainly weren't shy about promoting All or Nothing over and over and over.
And still doing it. And Peterson flying in on helicopter, all the things that we've all talked about here. I guess I'm just wondering how Michael Bidwell is handling all this. I can talk about Bruce and I can talk about Steve, but at 1-3, they are an embarrassment, okay, to the NFL. And Michael has been a part of All or Nothing. It was all about Michael for parts of that. They focused on him as the owner. So when it's good, you got to be there. When it's bad, you got to be there. And I'm just curious if you have a sense as to how the ownership is handling this disaster of a start at 1-3.
You know, Brad, honestly, I haven't seen Michael around much, so I don't know. I was interested to see who Bruce Arians was going to be after I was at the game yesterday when he came into the press conference, because we've never dealt with Bruce Arians when the criticism has been a little bit strong.
Yep.
I mean, gosh, I heard fans booing. I hadn't heard that in a while at Cardinal Stadium a couple times yesterday. They were booing Bruce Stanton. I think they were booing a play call. So he was the same. He was kind of the same consistent guy, which was, as a media member, refreshing. I have not seen Michael around, though. I know he has a very good relationship with those guys. We know those things can get strained when a team isn't winning. So at the very least, it's kind of a wishy-washy answer to your question.
It's
I think
it's
at least something we need to watch, though, now, right? I mean, that's something kind of to start reading the cues and the body language.
I know you were at the game. I was driving back. My son had a water polo tournament in Albuquerque, so I was driving back listening to Vin Scully's final innings. You were in Los Angeles for many, many years, and mm-hmm. Vin leaves. But the other side of that, Paul, is Dick Enberg retired yesterday, too, and it was his last game. And Dick Enberg was on the air at the same time, actually on the station you worked for with the Angels
right.
broadcasts. And was he on the same level from your point of view? He's in four Hall of Fames. Four, Dick Enberg is, and he didn't get nearly the run, and I'm not saying that Vin shouldn't have gotten it. You and I, both being in Southern California, know the impact of Scully. But
sure.
I felt like Dick Enberg retiring was kind of missed, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Got overshadowed. you know, it's tough because Finn is held, understandably, at such a high standard, and he's met it, and there's such respect for it. But there is sort of this almost poetic nature with Vin that he's pulled off that I don't know if any other broadcaster has, like, ever. I mean, I think what Dick Enberg has pulled off is longevity and preparedness and talent and all those other things. But Vin's accomplishments are kind of different, different from Dick Enberg. So I do think Dick Enberg should get more sort of attention for what he has done. I think it's just sort of fallen at the wrong time, and they're different kind of announcers. So I think that's part of it too.
Okay, off the top, I joked a little bit, but I'm kind of serious. Do you think the Suns and the Coyotes are sitting in their boardrooms today saying, you know, we actually have a little bit of an opportunity here with a slow, slow, slow start by the NFL team? Or is it just doesn't matter? The NFL team's going to crush anything that's out there, and they're so far off the radar that they're not going to be able to bounce back into this unless they get into the postseason. What do you think?
Oh, I think there are discussions. If you're a good marketing person, you try to seize the opportunity. I don't think they wish ill on them. I know these teams all have good relationships. But, I mean, you're in the business of trying to make money for your organization. And if they can steal a little bit of the limelight, I'm sure, while they would never admit it publicly, absolutely, absolutely. They've probably talked about it.
Are you hanging around the ballpark today waiting for the axe to fall on La Russa, on Stewart and Chip Hale? Is that the watch today?
I'm not down there hanging at the ballpark, but I'm certainly interested in my guess is something might not happen today, but there's going to have to be some changes. I can't imagine them feeling like they can move forward with fans if there's not. So I think something will happen soon.
Why can't it happen today? Colorado just blew Walt Weiss out this morning. Come on. When you're talking about sending a message to fans, I mean, this has been a train wreck since June. Like, isn't that hard to say, they're all gone. We're starting over. We apologize. What do we need to analyze here?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying that the things I've heard, it didn't sound like it was going to happen today.
All right.
And I don't know why.
It's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
All right.
I have no answer, Brad. Sorry.
No worries. Stay well. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Paul Abovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Eric, if I'm running the team, they're already gone. The boxes have come, and I've already told the media, go stand over by the train tracks where the exit is so you can get the car with them pulling out. Like when Peyton Manning showed up to the Cardinals and we stood out there, all of us. Go stand at the railroad tracks and watch Tony and Dave and Chip all drive out. Goodbye.
The last 5 or 6 weeks, the hints that you've heard from Derek Hall and the hints that you've heard from Tony La Russa make it pretty clear when Derek Hall says, we're not going to wait long after the season make changes.
It's long. It's already...
Changes are coming. What's the holdup?
I saw the White Sox yesterday during the game. We're going to have a press conference to talk about Robin Ventura's future tomorrow. He's going to be gone, okay?
Unless Ken and Derek are just going to string this out because the season was so bad and they just want to string this out. I don't know why they would, but...
I'm just befuddled sometimes. Sometimes in sports, it's really not that hard. I understand. I mean, I was talking to an agent over in San Diego. He sent me a text that said, Stu told him, looks like I'm going to be joining you, jumping back into the fray in this. This was a week and a half ago. I think Jude reported he was up at an A's game hanging out. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is not brain surgery. And when you're wanting to make the statement to the fans about everything, this is a day where you call it, you show up, and you own it. And you look right in that camera and say, we screwed up. This was not a good marriage. It didn't work. And I think fans are going to be forgiving of that. You're going to lose season tickets no matter what. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So believe it or not, I am going to turn the page here a little bit. The Suns start preseason tonight. First preseason game for the Suns is tonight. They play the Spurs down in San Antonio. Oh, they play, no, they play the Spurs here. My bad. They have the Spurs here.
Well, they play the Spurs bench because yes. The typical Popovich fashion, you know, none of the big players are going to play because they don't have to.
So that is, they have three home games here in preseason. And the first one is tonight. That caught me by surprise because I've been so focused on everything else. And then the next one is this week. It's Wednesday. They play Utah. I got to get down there.
They just had media day a week ago.
Yeah.
And now it's already the preseason.
I think I'm going to go Wednesday night. I can go Wednesday night. They play Utah. Because you got to see them a little bit.
You'll be down that way anyway.
Yeah, I'll be down that way anyways teaching. But the thing about preseason basketball, I get preseason basketball. I do get that. For those of you who are like, well, you're on this rant every year. You drive me crazy saying preseason NFL football is not a true barometer. Well, maybe this year it was, given where the Cardinals are. Maybe this year it was. It doesn't mean that you should still be subjecting these guys to all these games. You know, it'd be 20 games for the Cardinals if they don't make the postseason. So the Suns have their first preseason game tonight and then Wednesday. So that's of interest. Watch the Ryder Cup highlights back. And there's a thing in sports where, on the golf tour actually, where people that are the golf snobs, those are the ones that do not like what we do here every January at the Waste Management Open. There are those that think that we should be the conservative John Deere Classic, Byron Nelson Classic, just nice golf clap and golf applause. And yesterday, Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy, when I went back and watched just that match, like I was watching Phil, and Phil was unbelievable yesterday. For 46 years of age, I think he had 10 birdies in his round, in his match. But Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy was everything that you want in sports. You have Rory McIlroy putting his hand to his ear to encourage the crowd. You have Patrick Reed encouraging the crowd to yell and scream. And yeah, some fans got a little bit over the top. Okay? And the ratings for this were good nationally compared that you have the NFL going on at the same time. But people do care. And when you have an environment like they had at the Ryder Cup yesterday, that's what makes sports so great. When these athletes can actually encourage and get fans into it. Okay? So for those who want to rip our golf tournament that we have every year here, knock yourselves out. Yesterday was what it was all about at the biggest stage at the Ryder Cup. Oh, it's disrespectful to the game. No, I think you have to look at this in present day and say, this is what fans want. And you want to have these star players go out and act in a way that makes them feel human to you. And I did see that yesterday. I thought that was great. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. High school, college, pro college, high school. Makes no difference to us. We've been at it for 5 years doing our thing. Little engine that could approach. Day one. Here we are. Day, I don't know how many years or days into this. It's been five. And having a good time doing it. Thanks for being with us.